Welcome to Behind the Scenes of Project Foxtrot, a series that explores the creation and making of the Drama Mystery Podcast. I'm the host, Tom Zupicic, and today I'm here for the final Behind the Scenes episode that goes with the finale of our show. Today we have a very special group of people. We have the entire writing team of the show. We have Miley Durbin, James Powers, Gay Moore, and not just a writer, but also the director, editor, and actor, Mary Pelchat. Hi guys, how you doing?
Hello.
Howdy, howdy.
Great. Good to be here.
We're doing good. Actually, everybody was an actor in the show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Now, that kind of is a little bit of a detour from my first question, but now I got to know, because Mary, if I'm correct, can you each tell me who did you guys play in the show? Because now that we're at the finale, we don't have to worry about spoilers. We can really just talk about everything that went down. Who did you guys each play?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Now I'm trying to remember.
James voiced the news reporter from episode one and the student who interviews Dr. Bigelow in episode, I don't remember.
I think it's episode four, right? Episode four or five?
It was Miley wrote it.
I think it's four.
Episode four, yeah. So he's...
I think the funny thing was, didn't my brother voice Dr. Bigelow?
Nope, your brother voiced Dr. Bergman. Gabe! Voice Dr. Bigelow.
Wait, really?
Nope.
No way.
It is I.
And then Miley voiced Amber, Peggy's mom's home assistant and a police officer in episode 7.
Yep.
And I voiced the newscaster from the first episode. I voiced one of the parents of the foster kids. And I voiced June in episode 8.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Wait, sorry. Who was Gabe again?
I'm Bigelow. I'm who you thought your brother played.
You guys are in the same scene.
Yeah, but we didn't record it in the same room.
That's true.
My brain is like a colander. How I made it through this writing process, a collaborative writing process, no less, I honestly, I don't even know.
Stumbling and falling, getting back up.
Well, speaking of the writing, that does make me kind of want to segue into one of the questions I want to ask you guys. Because one question I asked you guys near the beginning of this show was, how did you start this show? How did you begin writing it, start from the beginning? But now that we're at the ending, I do want to ask, how did you guys decide on this ending, especially for this first season? Did you guys plan on going further and then held back for potentially future seasons? Where did you guys come up with, this is how we're going to end our show, or at least this season in particular?
I think we, throughout our process of having all these ideas and where storylines wanted to go, I think we wanted to pace ourselves because we did want to do more than just one season. And so we didn't want it to be we have this great, strong first season and then just a really terrible second season. And we didn't want it to feel forced. And so we were very, very particular in storylines or reveals that we held off on, and we made an active decision. Okay, we know how this ends or we know where this goes, but we are going to keep that until the second season. So I think if I remember correctly, it was just more a process of we want it to feel well paced. And so once we feel like we had enough, we were like, okay, maybe this is kind of where we should end season one. That's how I remember the process going.
I think there was also a huge piece of it was following the character arcs. So we mapped out a lot of our main character arcs, and we mapped them out across time. And so a lot of it was the individual storylines and finding those natural breaks on how are we raising the stakes for the end of the season? How do we make the end of the season feel the most like a finale? So I think there were even scene changes and storyline changes up until the end to really kind of just build on all the excitement and kind of create something that felt monumentous and heavy and that had the weight of the show that we were going in, but also set up our characters to then be thrown into the rest of the rest of the story with the other two parts that we have planned.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I mean, you guys, I think, did a really great job. And, you left us on some really great cliffhangers while also, you built up the characters and relationships really, really well. Now, kind of like you mentioned, building up this overall story, one thing I want to kind of ask each of you guys, and start with Gabe and kind of go around. What was your favorite scene from the show? Now that, again, we can kind of talk about any scene in particular and not have to worry about spoiling anything.
Sure. That's a good question. The scene that I most like in the, cause it's interesting, cause there's a scene that you probably like when you wrote it. And there's also a scene that you like after you hear everything that's done. Cause sometimes that gets changed. It evolves and it's like, wow, I didn't know how that scene would play out. The scene that stands out to me actually is unique because I had the most fun writing it during the writing process where I was like, wow, I can't wait to see how this turns out. And then when it turns out, it's like, wow, this is awesome. Like, this is what I had in mind. And that is the scene where Rick goes to talk to Dr. Bergman to find out about Bigelow and like the history and stuff about like, what'd you guys do with Alzheimer's and whatever. I did a lot of research into what Alzheimer's is doing. And I was like, I hope it's not too boring or like drawn out. But I found it very interesting. And so I just kind of had them talk about like, I basically took what's in reality and like put like a, I don't know, dystopian science fiction twist on it and like kind of threw it out there, like in carrying the mystery onward. And when it turned the sound design and the voice acting really drives the momentum of the episode. And it's like, it kind of builds the stakes. And so I'm very proud of that scene and I love listening to it.
No, I think you did a really great job with it. I mean, I was also equally invested and really intrigued with what you did. James, what about you?
Well, I think going off of that same distinction that Gabe made between, you know, the scene that like the scene that you enjoy writing versus the scene that you enjoy hearing, you know, in the final product. So the former, one of the ones that I really enjoyed writing that sort of left an impact on me. And it's not even, I'm trying to remember, narratively, it's not the most consequential scene. It does have kind of a big, like, reveal of sorts at the very end. But there's a scene, I think it's episode 6. I don't even remember exactly which ones I wrote. That's, again, this brain colander. But there's basically at the very end of the episode, there's a scene where Rick goes to the hospital to visit Dr. Garrity, and she's, you know, we know that they have some history together. She's an old friend of his, and, you know, it's revealed that she was very, very close with Rick and his wife, who has, of course, passed away. And writing that scene, it was one of those moments where it was like, I just felt the, you know, writing is often, it's almost like you're discovering something, right? Not that you're thinking up a thing and putting it on the page, but it's almost like you're discovering something. And I felt in writing that scene, I was just sort of like discovering this emotional history that Rick had with that this other character, Dr. Garrity, was able to reveal. And that was really fun to sort of unpack. But then in terms of the final, like the scene that I, you know, really enjoy, well, I shouldn't say the scene, but a scene that I really enjoy in the final product, honestly, I think the in the finale, as we are hearing it with the sound design and the music and everything, as Peggy and Rick are, you know, they're breaking into Janice's, well, maybe not breaking in, but they're getting into Janice's house, right? And everything happens with, you know, she leaves the call and the freaky voicemail and there's like the dog and the banging and the crashing and just all of the atmosphere kind of coming together all at once. I was like, this is very cinematic, but for my ears. And it was just really neat to like feel that all coming together.
Yeah, what a really great scene. And Miley, what about you?
So I was actually kind of surprised how much I enjoy listening to this scene, like in its final form. It's the scene where Peggy is going through stuff in her mom's house, and then she comes across the tape that it has her recording from when she's a little kid. And then she compares it to like the corrupted like Project Foxtrot. Because when I was writing it, it felt more of like, okay, these things need to happen. And so I just kind of have to put the pieces into the puzzle. And I was trying to like think more practical of, okay, how would this make the most sense? How would Peggy's character be thinking logically? And it was just too many of the logistics I was trying to figure out. And so hearing it in its final product, I was like, whoa, there's a lot of tension being built. There's a lot of suspense and mystery to it. And obviously with listening to tapes, you can really hear the sound design, which I think is like one of the biggest strengths of this final product in general. So hearing all of that come together was really cool, and it made for a really cool experience. Also, it's, you know, we get the title of the show in it, and it just leaves all these questions. And yeah, it was just, it played out so well. Whereas, like I said, writing it, it was more about, okay, how do I pull this off? These things need to happen. How do I make sure they happen? And so it wasn't just like a sit back and enjoy it, which I was able to do once I heard it in the final episode. So
yeah, absolutely. And Mary, what about you?
Oh my gosh, this is so hard for me. There's probably like scenes from every episode that, you know, just kind of blow my mind every time I hear them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I like listening to it again. I'm like, we made this. Do I have to pick one?
If you want to give us more than one, you're welcome to.
Okay. I'm gonna try to pick one from... So it's interesting having planned the scenes versus writing them in the script and then recording them and then hearing the final product. It's a very... I probably have a little bit of a different perspective from everyone else as far as like editing and just seeing the changes of each scene on every level, every step of the process. In writing, one of my favorite scenes, and it's such a throwaway scene, but I had so much fun writing it, as the opening for episode 8, when they're in the ER and they're bringing June in, and it's like, you know, the doctor and the EMT are going back and forth, and, you know, it's, I just had so much fun. I spent hours and hours, I just remember spending hours researching like all of this medical mumbo jumbo for 5 sentences of dialogue. And I remember texting Gabe afterwards. I was like, Gabe, how does this sound? And he's like, that sounds good. And I'm like, this took me forever to write. And it was like a half page, but it was so satisfying. There's other scenes that I really love, but that was like that one just sticks out for some reason. But as far as like the final product, like I love the scene when Mara sings to Blake in the hospital. It was originally a different song that we changed day of recording, but I still think it really works, and I still love hearing that scene every time. I love the scene with Peggy and her mom. I love all of those scenes. I love Irina does such a good job as her mom, and I think that like the scenes where they like listen to the tape that Miley was talking about, I love that scene. I love the back and forth. I love the how the layers kind of come apart. And I love the other scene James talked about with Dr. Garrity and Rick at the hospital. And you just see like the reveals of character. And I love those little beats of like that the characters have that you can kind of just see their personality and see like it's just like the reasons why I love those characters like come out in those scenes. And I think that's why we write.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And I have to also mention that scene in the hospital where Blake's mom sings to him is also my favorite as well. I remember when I still remember when I first was listening to that, and I was like, holy wow, this is so good. And I mean, there's a lot of other moments as well, but that's one moment that I've listened to now the show a couple times as well, and every time I listen to that one, I get the most excited to it. It has such a great cinematic build to it. And you know, that's also one thing, and as like I want to ask one final question to all of you guys, and you know, the one thing I want to bring up is like, this is, you know, I'm also speaking to you guys as a friend. You know, I'm really proud of you guys. You guys have worked so hard these last few years and pulled off something that's absolutely incredible, and you should be proud of it. And so for a final question for the last episode of the Behind the Scenes, I want to ask each of you guys, what are you most proud of, or what is the biggest takeaway from working on this show, and now that we've like kind of come to this final ending? And James, you can start.
I think one of the things, just off the top of my head, the thing that immediately comes to mind that like I'm most impressed with is in terms of podcasting, putting together a narrative podcast is ambitious enough in itself, But then even more ambitious, and, you know, I lay the blame at Mary for having this ambitious idea. You know, we're gonna do a podcast, and not only is it going to be a narrative podcast, but it's going to be a narrative podcast that is like a sci-fi, you know, Twin Peaks-esque mystery with all kinds of multi-layered storylines and mysteries and clues and reveals that have to be teased out just so, and, you know, pacing and the character arcs and all this stuff. So the fact that we were able to, you know, make that work and pull together the story across 8 episodes, you know, is really impressive. At least it seems to me that the fact that we were able to do that is something I'm really proud of.
Miley, what about you?
I think from the beginning, the coolest thing about this whole process has just been the 100% independent aspect of it. It was literally just, let's just do it. We'll figure it out. Like, none of us had ever done this before. And along the way, we're just kind of like, yeah, that should be our next step, right? And we're just like, I don't know. Like, we'll just figure it out. And I know the bulk of the work has been on Mary's shoulders in terms of getting it started and produced and recorded and edited and all of that. And, you know, she's always just like, oh my gosh, I'm just constantly amazed that we've got this far. And it's like, yeah, you just keep going. And it's like, none of us know what we're doing. We've not done this before, but it's cool to just be like, I want to tell this story and I want to do it. So let's just do it. And I think she was smart in choosing 3 other people who have that same artistic approach to things. And it was cool having all the creative freedom. We didn't have to answer to anyone. We didn't have to worry about production studios we were our own creative bosses, which was really fun. So I think despite all of the challenges that came with doing it independently and, you know, having to have it be all on like a no budget and, hey, maybe I'm just going to get a bunch of people I know to help out. I think despite all that, that's what makes it all special, is because it's independent and it's the side of creativity that I love. You know, you do it for the love of the story and the art. And I think because of that, it resulted in it being very, very well executed, because it was all for the love of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Gabe, what about you?
Yeah, I really agree with both James and Miley. They them saying that made me have a lot of pride. And like, you know, it grew my pride in what we've accomplished. But I was thinking about it a couple weeks ago, you know, thinking about like, wow, this is going to be finally be released. And what struck me is that this is a medium meaning like scripted podcasts, narrative podcasts, that hasn't really just like hit the zeitgeist. It's not something that people like can talk about and assume you've seen it, like Shang-Chi, like everybody saw that. And it's interesting because even though we have references to it, like the old 1950s radio shows or like, you know, any other... There are examples of this, but it hasn't hit the zeitgeist. What's interesting is that it seems like we are on the precipice of developing the language of the medium, the same way that when film was starting to come out, it was like, yeah, just put a camera and, you know, it's like a play, but you shoot it. And then eventually that evolved into like making the language of film. It had its own film. It took on its own medium. And now it's completely independent and separate from a theater. There's probably more differences than similarities at this point. And what's interesting is like we have had to go through the process of like, what is the language of a scripted podcast that's different from film or theater? And it feels like part of a movement and like part of like something that is beginning. And that makes me, and to be honest, the like making the language, I probably don't have a lot of credit in that. It's like, you know, I wrote the script, and so I'm proud to be on the periphery of like, you know, what they did with the sound design, what they did with all the editing and how the final product looks. But because this is an example of the beginning of a movement, or so it seems, I am proud to be a part of that.
That's awesome. And kind of something to add to you, Gabe, because you mentioned, you know, we know radio shows from the 50s. And what's really cool about just media and just art in general is how long lasting it is. Like, you don't know who's going to be listening to your show 50, 60, 70 years from now. And I bring that up because... earlier this year, I actually found on Audible, they had the first, I think, 16 episodes of the original Superman radio show from the 1940s, and I listened to all of it. And you don't know who decades from now someone's going to come across your show and be super excited and listen to all your episodes. So something to think about.
That's cool.
And Mary, now to you, you know, the person who's been really hauling the most from this. You know, this is your baby since day one.
Oh my gosh.
What are you most proud about Project Foxtrot?
To give context of when we're recording this episode, we're recording this 2 days before the first episode even releases. And I'm just proud of everyone coming together on this kind of, I have so many like thoughts and feelings, and it's hard to summarize it in like into just a few words. But I would say that the thing I'm the most proud of is the collaboration that went into this project, and people, even though, you know, they didn't get paid or hardly ever got paid, or, you know, everybody just did it for the love of the project and the good of the project. And it's just so amazing to work with. I was so blessed to work with so many other talented people and people who are just excited about making content. And that honestly was the best part of like, all right, let's, you know, let's get to work and let's play, let's make characters, let's create characters over again in, you know, in the sound booth, let's create it in post, let's continue to refine and perfect something until we find something that we love and that we can continue to come back to. And, you know, there's always a fear when you start a project that it's not going to get finished. And you're like, well, this is just going to go into the black hole of my hard drive and no one will, you know, there's like 3 good bits that might end up in my reel someday and that, you know, maybe no one else will see. And you have those like good memories of like putting it together. But I think that being able to put something out that so many people put time and work into is just really, really special and can't be replaced.
You guys should be proud. You guys really put everything into it and it came out great. I'm proud of you guys, like I said before.
Thank you.
And yeah, this is the last one. And to everyone who's been listening this entire time, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you again, hopefully soon. Bye.